We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would take your Bibles there. 2 Corinthians 1, I love singing those songs and those old hymns. Tell me the story of Jesus, and Jesus paid it all, two of my favorite songs. But I really, really, they bring comfort to my heart to think about, you know, all that the Lord has done for us. And that's the title tonight, Be Comforted. Going through on Sunday nights, the B series, I guess we could call it, and some of the directives of the New Testament given to us on what we need to be doing and encouragement given to us. Tonight, we're going to see 2 Corinthians 1. Notice, if you will, verse 3 there. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Talking again about being consoled and comforted through the different aspects, and particularly with this church, the conflicts and trials that come our way in life. Paul says to be comforted. Now tonight, as we continue, last week we looked at being free and the freedom we have in Christ. Tonight we can be comforted. The word comfort, you know, appears 66 times in the Bible. It means to give strength and hope, to cheer, to ease the grief, to console. The Lord made it very clear to us we would not always be happy and have happy circumstances in our lives and in this world. As we read a little bit a couple weeks ago, but he says that these things I've spoken to you, ye might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Have you ever had to have comfort in your life before in some situation or something? Maybe something came along and you needed comfort. Somebody to console you, or maybe put their arm around you, or some other way you think about. Just recently we went on a short, very short vacation, only about 3 days. And we went to and found a hotel, and there was two hotels in the area there that were the nicest hotels in the city. We said, you know what? Let's splurge. Let's just get a nice hotel. You know, we're sick of the crummy little hotels. And we got the one, I won't name the name, but the one hotel there. And man, we walked in and oh, it was so nice and beautiful. And they had some coffee set out and all. It was so beautiful. We walked into our room. It was amazing. Had the suite where you had the room, and it's the bedroom was in its own room, you know, with a door, and you had the living room. It was so nice. Until about 10 o'clock at night, and I laid down in the bed. And of course, you know, and the bed, I shouldn't say swear, I promise to you, my legs had to be above my head. And so I got two pillows, and then I got three pillows. And so I was doing the taco, you know, it was like that. And I'm like, something's not right here, you know. I said, Tina was in the other with the kids. And I said, hey, is that bed any better? She's like, no, it's terrible. It's terrible. And so I asked the girls, how's the other one? Oh, it's not very good. But I was sitting there going, man, the plush, and the blankets were plush, and the pillows were so nice, but the mattress was horrible. And I don't know if some person sat up right, you know, they sit up in bed right where your head is, and it's like, get a dip or something. Anyways, I'm just venting to you guys. And I thought about it, I thought I was expecting some comfort. You ever been there? And I didn't get any. And so the next night, I kind of put some pillows up like in a train, if you will, and made my own kind of thing. And so I kind of just slept like this, but it helped. Anyways, I don't know if that applies, but the comfort you're looking for so often is not there. Jesus said, I'm trying to tie this in here. Jesus said that you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. There's many things in life that make us uncomfortable. And there are many disappointments, heartaches and headaches. We'll suffer. We know that. We suffer because of the curse of sin, and often need the encouragement and comfort. And as believers, we're commissioned to carry the gospel to the lost. In doing this, we incur wounds from persecution, and we need comfort. When we go out to propagate the truth and the gospel, we're going to incur problems, aren't we? Issues and difficulties and persecution and all that comes with it. Number one, God promises to comfort us. Now notice he says, I will comfort you. Paul says, you've been comforted before. You know he's the God, verse 3, of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. This church was in a mess. This church was I shouldn't say it that way, but they were in a mess. They were in a pickle. And they had a lot of problems. And Paul came in, you know the story. And he said, listen, you folks are there, you're allowing sin into the church that not even the unbelieved Gentiles do. You've allowed that kind of debauchery into the church, the defilement. And he says, you got to repent of that, get right. And all the issues they had. They had issues with some marital problems. They had issues with young people that were seeking to get married, but they weren't doing it the right way in chapter 7. And he describes some of that. They had problems with giving and financial issues that he later described. All kinds of things that were going on. And he says, listen, you need comfort. He comforts us in the time of tribulation. He provides for our physical comfort. But that alone is not what we really need. He wants us to have the inner peace and assurance that makes us comfortable regardless of our material possessions. You've seen people, you know people probably, don't you? They have the plushest car, vehicle, I don't know what it is. Nice cars, nice vehicles, beautiful homes, 6-bedroom houses, all kinds, most expensive mattresses and all. And what do they say? I'm just not comfortable, right? I just don't have comfort. And they're really speaking about an inner comfort, a peace that they don't have. And we know he comforts us through tribulation. I don't know what you're going through tonight or what you're dealing with tonight, but God has comfort. And he wants to offer that to you. You're stressed and strained and thinking about Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. You have other issues that you're trying to handle. And God says, I want to help you if we'll allow him to. Notice he says this. He comforts us in not only time of tribulation, but in times of death. In death. There were several people that had passed and died in the church. I think of, in particular, the church at Thessalonica. And there were people that had died. And they said, Paul, well, what about them? Are they going to come with us? He says, yes. And he explains it to them. Yes. Weep not as those that have no hope, he says. But rejoice in Christ of that great resurrection. There's times of death. There's times of tribulation. Death is still an enemy. And in one way or another, touches every person. There's not a home that death does not touch and will not touch at some time. And when death takes that loved one, we hurt, we need comfort. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Death still stings, the grave still has victory. But we know it will be removed in that last day. And so we see that. When we have that from him, we know that. He gives many, many references, as I've shared before. But he says, notice thirdly, he comforts us by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And so giving us clear indication of this. In John 14 and 15, he explains this. And he says, I will give another comforter. And I love that way he phrases it. Another comforter. Jesus said, I'm your comforter now, but I'm going to send another one when I leave. When I go away. And they didn't understand that. As you know, later they didn't get it. But he says, I'll send another comforter. And aren't you so thankful for that tonight, that God sent the Holy Spirit, capital C, comforter, to us and for us. One just like himself. One just like the Lord. John 14, he says in verse 16, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And I love that. I will come to you. It's not when we plead to God, and yet we should. It's not when we beg God to comfort me, and yes, we should, but it's what? I will come to you. And when our time comes when we need comfort, he's there, isn't he? He comes to us. And again, the whole idea there that he's saying is that he's warning us and preparing us that we're going to get into uncomfortable positions when we serve Christ, when we follow him, when we live for him, when we share the faith and gospel. We're going to get uncomfortable. Therefore, I'll give you the comforter to help you. Do you know the sad state of being tonight? A lot of Christians, believers, have never experienced the comforter. They've never stepped out by faith. They've never stepped out and in front of other people made known that they are a believer in Christ and took the shame and the ridicule of that. Many young people never experienced that, right, of the Comforter, the standing up for what's right and doing what God's asked them to do. Sad to say, many churches never experience the Comforter because they don't walk by faith. They walk by sight and they want to see evidence. We know the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit lives in us and is our aid. This is one who is summoned or called to one side. We know that. The Paraclete, especially called to one's aid. We think about the counsel for defense, the legal assistant, advocate. Those terms we could use. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Now again, just a reminder that the Holy Spirit guides into all truth. Holy Spirit says, I know you're hurting Tim, and I know you've been through trouble, and I know you want revenge, and I know you want to reply, or I know you want to do this or that, or I know that you want to maybe don't go back there and not have to show up again and not go through that again. And you ever hear, have all that? I know you want, and so go ahead and do that. I know that you believe or you think that we should do it this way, and it's contrary to Scripture. Go ahead and do that. Holy Spirit says no. The Holy Spirit guides always unto all truth. He directs us to the truth. He's our guide, if you will. We don't know the path we go down. We don't know what's around the bend or the corner. He's there to help us, isn't he? He's there to guide us. We were, we went over to the Grand Canyon, and you may have been into a place like that before, but they offer guides, you know, for a certain price, obviously. You can get a guide. And you walk along, and he stands in front of you, and he walks and he says, now over there is a rock. We all look, oh. And right there is where whoever discovered whatever, you know. Oh, wow. And right there is where that lady fell off the edge. You know, like, whoa. And all these things. And it's just, it's funny. And you see the people walk by with a guide, and they got the special hat on, you know, everything else. And I thought about that, man. It's so funny. And you think about what the Holy Spirit can do for us if we'll allow Him to guide us and direct us and comfort us. He says that I'll send in my name. He'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And that's what happened too, didn't it? Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again, and what happened? Oh, yeah, okay, everything's making sense now. The two on the road to Emmaus, what did they say? Oh, thou fools and slow of heart, to believe all that, what, the prophets wrote? What we said, what we've been telling you? And the Holy Spirit does that so kindly and so gently. John 16:13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will guide you unto all truth, all truth. I'm so thankful. I couldn't imagine having a guide that is deceitful. Could you? Having a guide that's trying to trick you. I heard a story of during the World War II and the Holocaust that the Nazis would disguise themselves as Jewish people, and they would go into the suburbs or the cities. And they would gather up all the Jewish people and say, hey, come on, we have to have a special meeting. What are we going to do about this situation? What are we going to do? Hey, follow me. And we're going to take you. And they would take them over whatever it would be, a banquet hall or a local pub or something, you know, a big gathering, and gather them all. Hey, come over here. We need to have everyone meet. We need to talk about the situation at hand. They're going to come in and all these things. And he was deceitful. And he got them all there. And then what did he do? Whatever the signal was or whatever they did, and here came all the soldiers in and took them all, rounded them all up. Instead of having to go door to door and house to house, they had them right there, load them up on the train and took them down to their death. And you think about it, I could not imagine the deceit of somebody who's promised you to be safe. I'm promising you, you follow me, I'll take care of you. You follow me, I promise nothing will bad happen to you. Only to lead you to destruction and death. And they deceived you. But we have a Holy Spirit tonight. I'm so thankful. The Lord. And He says, I'll guide you unto all truth. Now, a lot of people say that the Holy Spirit told them to do this, told them to do that. They had a vision in the night by the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. They were slain in the Spirit. All kinds of things. What we have to come back to, and this is the thing that I constantly come back to, they never contradict, do they? The Word and the Holy Spirit will never contradict each other. You may have a vision, you may have a dream, you may have something you think is the Spirit, and that's a good thing. But if you come to the Scriptures in your daily Bible reading and your daily devotions, and it contradicts, what happened? Something's off. Now let me continue here. He comforts us with the Word. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Why? That we through patience, notice, and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I talked about that a little bit a couple weeks ago, but comfort of the Scriptures. We have assurance in Him. We have the promise of Christ's return in the Word. This is our hope. This dispels our ignorance, the Word does. This tells us where our departed loved ones have gone. Their bodies, we know that, where they've gone, etc. They're with Jesus, we know. Assures us that He will personally come for us. Assures us that we're saved and we have safety in Him. And so many more things. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Where do we find all of these promises? In the Word and the comfort that it brings. I don't know about you, but when I sit down and sometimes force myself to read the Bible, because it's hard, isn't it? It's difficult. I have to force myself. Sit down and read it and take time with it. It comforts me for some reason. I don't know what it is inside. There's something inside. It just, this exhale, it brings this comfort to me. And I know it does to you as well. There's comfort in the Word. There's comfort in the Spirit. Let me say here, by way of last point, God comforts us so that we may comfort others. Again, notice this. We would comfort those around us. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The comfort. One aspect of the Christian life is that we give of ourselves, isn't it? The one key vital element of the Christian life and why so many Christians today are unhappy and unhealthy spiritually and physically, and they are not where they ought to be, is because they don't give of themselves. The great old adage that we have is, you want to have true joy in your life, it's Jesus, others, and you, isn't it? You're giving of yourself and helping other people and blessing other people by doing something good for them or with them or helping them, and above all, sharing the gospel. But he says, notice that we would comfort other people, comfort others. We are to comfort each other with the words of Scripture. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he says, wherefore comfort yourselves together. Edify one another, even as also ye do. Comfort one another with these words, he says. Tell it to other people. If by the way, if something you read in Scripture blesses your soul, tell people. Right? They may not want to listen, but tell them anyways. If something the Lord has done for you recently, man, it's such a blessing, tell people. Let them know that, especially in your own home or house. Let them know, man, God really blessed the answer to prayer. Kids, the other day, they told us one prayer they had. And one of our girls, I said before, but she said, Daddy, if the Lord can give us this home, He can give us that church. And I saw it and I said, you know, yeah, you're right. You're right. And you think about some of this that you ought to let people know. He says, comfort one another with these words of encouragement. He comforts us in that way. We're to comfort each other at church and in the home. One of the purposes of this local church is to comfort and edify one another. We know that. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. But he also says, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting, encouraging, helping, right? And saying, hey, what can I do to help and bless? Now, you folks do this, and I know that, but being a comfort to other people, being a comfort to Him. As he continues and he goes on, and we've read these verses before in another message, but he shows them that we can be of a great example. Notice again, let's close out verse 8 here. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of what? Our good times and happy gatherings. No. Of our what? Our trouble, which came to us in Asia. We're so quick, if you're like me, to share and rejoice of all the good. Hey, this is good, and this would happen, and God bless. But he says also, no, I want you to be aware of a trouble that came to us, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength. We had no more strength, he said, in so much that we were despaired even of life. He said we didn't know if we were going to even live another day, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in which we trust that he will yet deliver us. He also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given to many by on our behalf. He talks about this, but he's giving an example of the distress and pain and tribulation that they recently just went through. And he says, we were so in such a mess that we believed we were going to die. And we settled it. We're going to die. And he says, but we trusted in the Lord that he would raise the dead and the power that he has. But that's the position that he's in. And again, this comes back to, he said we were doing all of this to help you and to get to you and to help and write a message to you. But he says, I want you to know this, that was done so that we can come and give you the good news that God does still comfort and he does still help. So again, whatever you may be going through, whatever maybe challenges you're facing, boy, I think about it's easy for me to say that. And there's people around us with cancer and problems, people around us with heartaches and pain, more than just physical, but spiritual and emotional. It's easy to say. People are living through it, aren't they? And going through it. And I wish that they would grasp and understand that there is a Holy Spirit of God that wants to come and comfort them, doesn't he? Literally come alongside of and put their arm around. That paraclete to come alongside of and comfort. That one that would come alongside. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. I'm meek, lowly. It's not hard to follow God. It's not hard to do his will. We mess it up though, don't we? We make it contaminated. And he says, come alongside of it. I want to comfort you, and I hope you are tonight. So again, let me encourage you, be comforted. Let God know your trials and problems and the heartaches and things you're dealing with. Let him know, and he will answer. Let him know, and he'll come to you. As he said, I will come to you, but you have to come to him too. And you have to let him know, Lord, I want you to comfort me, and I want the Holy Spirit to guide me and help me. When we go through a trial and tribulation, we often go away from the truth, don't we? He says, I'll guide you unto all truth. When we go through something hard or difficult, we say, oh, that's it, throw in the towel. Not good enough, I knew it. Nobody likes me. Nobody's nice to me. No, that's a false narrative. It's a false view, isn't it? Holy Spirit comes in and says, Tim, come here, let me comfort you. And as I'm comforting you, walking down the road, I'm guiding you unto all truth. I'm showing you the right way. As I said this morning, the more time we spend around the Word of God and with the Holy Spirit, the more of a sobriety we get in our lives. We're sober. We know what's going on. We're not deceived. We're not duped. We're not walking around ignorant. We know who's in control and we know what's happening all around us. Amen? All right. Are you comforted? I hope you are tonight. No, we have a precious Savior and a Holy Spirit that's there to comfort our hearts. All right. Amen. Lord, thank you again for a time tonight to share your word. And I pray something said was a help, was an encouragement. Something said was a blessing to those here. I don't know some of the needs right here in this room, Lord, that these folks may have. I don't know what some people may be going through privately. They may have an emotional need. They may have a spiritual need. And Lord, we don't know maybe a physical need. I pray that you would comfort their hearts. But Lord, help us to stay in your word and stay in prayer close to you. You comfort us. You promise to do that. And then Lord, as we go through whatever you'd allow us to go through in your perfect will, we would then be able to comfort other people because of what you've done for us. Help us and remind us of that, to serve you, but also to reach out and help people around us and do what we can. Lord, we thank you so much for your grace to now allow us to be in your house today and serve you and worship you. Guide us this week. I know a busy week for many. And empower us and strengthen us, Lord, and prepare the way. In Jesus' precious name again. Amen.